A further aspect of understanding the organization, cerebral organization of our knowledge systems is whether or not there are modalities and whether there is an independence of modalities or whether we have a unified knowledge base that is not specific for one modality or another. Now, the only two modalities that have been investigated in any depth are obviously the verbal domain and the visual domain. And so for quite a lot of these categories, one can either assess it verbally by asking the person to define a word, or you can assess it visually by asking them to identify a picture. In my very first case, first study of this topic, I thought that we got a double dissociation. One of my patients used exactly the same pool of words. You either present it as a word or you present it as a picture of the word. And one of my patients had very much more difficulty identifying a picture than defining the word. So say there was a picture of a basket, perfectly clear picture of a basket, he'd say, I don't know what that is. But you say, tell me what a basket is. He says, oh, well, I put my things in it when I go shopping. So that was, I thought, an example of a separation, the two modalities. And the other patients, which are perhaps more common, it's the other way around, that they will be able to identify the picture, but when faced with the word, we'll say basket, doesn't mean much to me. And this has been investigated over the last 20 years. There's still, I think, fair to say, fairly active research in this area. And I think it's also fair to say that there, if you like, two camps. Those that think that there is reasonable evidence for modality specificity, either the visual world being damaged but retaining your verbal knowledge base, and vice versa. Karamatsa takes a more unitary position here, and he gives primacy to the visual knowledge base. And on by his account, and he admits that he can't account for it except say that we got it wrong, that you can't have a visual associative agnosia. This is clearly speculative, but I must say I think that the answer to this will come probably from the people doing imaging work. But there's already suggestions that the animate and inanimate have different loci in the brain, that nouns and verbs have different loci in the brain. Yes, I think that there must be numerous circuits. I also would assume they interact. I shouldn't think they have a total independence, but that's why I use the phrase a degree of independence, in that one can be, you know, selectively damaged or selectively impaired. And I assume, though this may not be correct, that this would be because of the location of the physical brain damage.